I'm going to ask Steve to come up now, and he's going to read for us our Bible reading for today. Thanks.
Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
The reading this morning is taken from the Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Be very careful, then, how you live. Live not as the unwise, but as the wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you. Lovely.
So each one of us has been given a really precious gift. Every one of us here today has been given life. God has brought us into being, and he's breathed the breath of life into us. And somehow all of us have ended up here today in this room in Holyhead. If you think about it, that's an absolutely amazing miracle, really. That we're all here today together, alive in this room. And we, each of us, have a choice about what we do with that life we've been given. When we're young, certainly when I was younger, it kind of feels a bit like you're invincible and like the choices before you are infinite. But many of us who've lived a bit longer, we know that that's not the case. And that we don't actually know how long we have. And many of us who've lost loved ones know how brief and fleeting that gift of life here on earth is, and how we actually need to treasure it. So the first question that Paul asks us really is this: what are we doing with that gift of life that we've been given? And Paul says, be very careful then how you live. Be very careful then how we live. Are we being careful with how we live? And Paul says we need to live in a way that is wise. One of the great themes of the whole Bible is this great choice that human beings have between wisdom and foolishness. That's what the whole book of Proverbs, if you've ever read Proverbs, that's what that whole book is all about. Choosing between, are we going to go the way of wisdom, or are we going to go the way of foolishness? But what is wisdom? What does it mean to live in a way that is wise? Being wise is not actually to do with intelligence. You can go to university and you can get a load of PhDs, and you can be Brain of Britain, and you can be super, super clever, and you can still squander your life. You can still make stupid choices. It's not about head knowledge. And also, actually, being wise is not just about age and experience either. It's true that actually, you know, we do get older and wiser, as they say. We should respect our elders and listen to our elders. But age doesn't necessarily equate to wisdom. I have to tell you, I'm afraid, that there are lots of very foolish older people out there. It's true. So wisdom isn't about intelligence, and it's not about age and experience necessarily. The book of Proverbs, chapter 9, verse 10, says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." When it talks about the fear of the Lord, it's not fear in the kind of quaky in my boots sense. It's more about respect and reverence. It's about a desire to find out the ways of God, to follow God's ways, to obey Him, steering away from the things that displease God, figuring out and doing the things that please Him. It's not just about what we know up here intellectually. It's about how that head knowledge gets down into our hearts and into the rest of our bodies and affects our behaviour, how we live it out. So are we chasing after wisdom? Paul says in verse 16, "Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity." In some translations, that phrase, "making the most of every opportunity," can actually be translated, you might have heard it, "redeeming the time," or "making every moment count." Now that doesn't mean what I would probably do is rushing around like a headless chicken and trying to squash like millions and millions of things into every day until you just collapse in a heap. It doesn't mean that. What it means is about just seeing our time as a precious gift from God and then using it to follow ways that lead us towards God. And that can include rest, holy rest. And what it doesn't mean is sleepwalking through life in a kind of stupor, just kind of hoping things will be all right. Paul says you can't afford to do that because, he says, the days are evil. The days are evil. And in chapter 6, we'll get to it, Paul's going on to talk about the fact that we're in a spiritual battle on earth. There are evil forces at work in the world. I'm not talking about individual human beings, but the forces at work behind the evil things that people do. And all we have to do really is go on the internet for a few minutes and we can recognise it. It's hard to argue with this fact that the days are evil, just as it was in Paul's time. But as we talked about last time, as God's people, we are to live as children of light in those evil times, in a dark time. And each of us has a unique opportunity. My life is different to your life. I come into contact with different people to who you come into contact with. Each of us has a life that only we have been given, a calling that is only mine or only yours. And part of your calling might be to tell someone about Jesus or to invite them to church, or it might be to bring up our children in the right way, to point them towards God. It might be to love our neighbours, serving the poor, working for justice, standing up for truth. It might be practicing biblical hospitality, inviting people into our homes, or out for a coffee, sharing our lives with them. Might be soaking ourselves in the scriptures and maybe teaching and discipling others in the ways of Jesus. It might be all of those things, or none of those things, or millions of other things. Remember back in chapter 2, verse 10, Paul said this: "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God's prepared things in advance for us to do, me and you, and that looks different for each one of us. Paul said that we're to understand what the Lord's will is and do it. What is God's will for my life? What is God's will for your life? Doesn't matter how old we are, the youngest to the oldest, God has a will for our life. And finding out what that is involves discernment, prayer, learning from the Bible, talking to trusted Christian friends. Paul really, really does not want the Ephesians to waste those precious lives they've been given. Be careful how you live, treasuring the time you've been given, not squandering it. And this ties in with what Paul says next. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Well, you might be sitting there thinking, oh, Paul, you spoil sport, you party pooper. Paul's not saying don't drink, and he's not saying don't have parties. Jesus was criticised. They said he's a glutton and a drunkard. Jesus came eating and drinking, and he went to lots of parties, and he even turned water into wine. But what Paul's talking about specifically here is drunkenness. So he's talking about something that actually kind of takes you over, changes your personality, dulls your senses, dulls your responses, so that you end up making stupid and foolish choices. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of anybody that's ever done something they regretted when they were drunk. But Paul doesn't want us to have any of those morning after the night before moments. And I think actually this can be extended not just to drinking, but anything that kind of dulls our senses and stops us from making the right choices. I know for me, like, too much TV can sort of leave me just like sprawled like a mindless lump on the sofa. And you know, you end up watching things that you weren't intending to watch, and your mind ends up going into places you really didn't want it to go. And social media can do that as well. It can be addictive and it can eat the time. How many of us have sat down to check a few things on Facebook and then 2 hours later, oh. And again, it takes our minds into places we never intended them to go. It's the same with some computer games as well. I read that the average UK adult spends 3 hours a day watching TV or like any sort of streaming content. 3 hours a day. You could learn piano, couldn't you? I don't know, or something. And the average UK adult checks their phone every 12 minutes. How often do we open this? Definitely not every 12 minutes. I don't. Maybe we're opening our phone to look at the Bible on it. That's all right. And 2 in 5 UK adults, that's 40% of us, it's quite a lot, check our phones within 5 minutes of waking up in the morning. Again, what if the first thing we were to do before we did anything else, maybe we could make a cup of tea first, was to look into this? What difference would that make before checking our messages? How might that change our day? I'm not saying all of this to bring on a big guilt trip, and I'm talking to myself here as well. But what I'm saying is, let's not sleepwalk through life in like a kind of haze, just letting things happen to us. Because we are God's people, and the days are evil. And God is calling us to live wise lives in dark times, and our time is precious. And if we sort of still think, oh, Paul, you're spoiling all our fun, just want to say two things to challenge that. First of all, if we actually pay attention to how we really feel when we do some of these things, actually they're not as fun as some of the advertisers would like us to think. It can make us ill. And then secondly, Paul tells us that actually by following some of these soul-numbing ways of foolishness, we're actually missing out on something better. So let's read it again. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And Paul is saying, we've got something that is better than wine, that is better than beer, that is better than Netflix, better than a few rounds of Fortnite, better. We have the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're a Christian, if you've committed your life to Jesus, then you have the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God living in you. And that's amazing. And when Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, he's not saying that actually somehow maybe the Holy Spirit has left you and falls out of you and you have to be filled up again. What he's saying is, keep on being filled more and more with the Holy Spirit. Allow God's presence into more and more of your life to fill and transform you more and more. Your body, your personality, your desires, your dreams, your actions, your behaviour. And this is expressed, one of the ways it's expressed, as we were saying earlier, is by worship and by through song. And as we were saying, singing has always been part of Christian and Jewish worship. And it's, well, it's one of those things that does mark us out as being a bit weird, really, to be honest. But it's such a wonderful gift that God has given us. And I have to say that one of the times when I most closely sense God's presence is when we join together in sung worship, when I'm surrounded by sisters and brothers in Christ, and our voices join together and unite, declaring the praise of God. And sometimes that's been in big gatherings. It's great sometimes if you can get together with hundreds and thousands of people all worshipping God together. But many times it's been in smaller groups, either here in our church or with even smaller groups of people. I remember one time when I was worshipping at Penrash Baptist Church in Bangor. And we were singing the song, Blessed Be Your Name. And there's some words in that song. It says, blessed be your name when the road's marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. And I looked round and I knew a lot of people there. And I remember sort of thinking, wow, I know some of the suffering and the circumstances that these people are going through. I know a bit about the pain that they're experiencing. And yet they are choosing to stand and declare the praise of God. And it just, it's like God just touched my spirit in a new way and said, look, though there's pain in the offering, we can worship together. We can choose to sing together. And in moments like that, just think the Holy Spirit can really work. It's not all about emotionalism or manufactured warm, fuzzy feelings. It's about being together in community, declaring the truth about God with one another. St. Augustine said, the one who sings prays twice. The one who sings prays twice. And I think there's something in that. When we sing, it's like it confirms what we're saying. The words become deeper somehow. And it's like we're really lifting our whole selves towards God. So we sing and we make music in our hearts to the Lord. But we also sing songs to one another, about God. We remind one another about God's character, what he's done for us. We encourage one another to persevere and to walk the walk. And as we said earlier with the children, when we sing, we remember things. We remember things. We can memorise the scriptures through songs. There's lots of songs that just are Bible verses lifted off the page, and we can memorise the scriptures in that way. And singing can actually change our neural networks so that it's those words that rise up. We all know about earworms, don't we? They're a particularly annoying advertising jingle that will just, it gets in your head and you just can't get it out of your head. It's like, grr. But we can do that with worship songs. We can do that with songs of scripture. And actually, that means that when we're going through something difficult, words of comfort and truth as we sing can rise up in our minds just when we need them. And Paul knows this from experience. I don't know if you remember, there's that story in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. And Paul is in prison with his friend Silas. They're in prison in Philippi. They don't know what's going to happen to them. And it says that they started singing together and worshipping the Lord. And what happened? There was an actual earthquake and the jail was burst open. That's what happened. So don't underestimate the power of singing. Now, we don't really want to literally bring the walls down this morning, but it can be, singing is so powerful. It can be one of the most beautiful, the most powerful things we ever do. And the Bible tells us to do it. Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we do that? And obviously all of us have songs that we don't like. And I know that sometimes, you know, you get to a song and think, oh, not this one, you know. But remember, we're doing this all together. And even if you don't like it, there's probably someone over there that this might be their favourite song. So instead of going, oh, I don't like this one, just think, actually, this is so-and-so's favourite song. So let's sing it because it's encouraging them and it's going to bless them. And the last thing in the passage Paul calls us to do is to be thankful. Be thankful. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have a lady who is my spiritual director. So that means basically I just meet with her every few weeks and I'm very honest with her about my life with God, about how I'm praying or not praying, how I'm trying to follow Jesus, and she gives me advice and support with that. And last time I met with her, she suggested that I start a notebook, and every evening that I write in the notebook 5 things that I'm thankful for from that day, from that particular day. So this is my notebook that I've started. And it's not rocket science, is it? And it's actually something that psychologists tell us to do as human beings. You know? But I am a worrier, and I find it so easy to go through life and just be thinking about all the negative things or all the things that might go wrong. And I can very easily get filled with worry and filled with self-pity as well. And I forget to say thank you, just to say thank you. And yet, there are so many things always to say thank you for. And that's what we did a little bit at the beginning of the service. And just adopting this simple practice in my daily life has been just a lovely way to finish off the day. Because I'm turning my heart towards God in gratitude. And I'm seeing the moments of hope and joy that have punctuated my day. Sometimes very small things. But I realise that, yes, I have seen God at work today. Yes, God has been with me today. Yes, God is good. Yes, God is generous. Yes, God is kind. So let's be careful how we live, choosing to live wisely and not foolishly. Seeing the time that God gives us as a precious gift from Him, making the most of every moment that He gives us. Let's be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's worship God. Let's fill our homes and our cars and our workplaces if we are able to. And of course our church with song to God and about God. Doesn't matter if you don't think you can sing very well. God doesn't care. He just loves to hear your voice. So just don't worry about it. And as we lift our voices in worship, the Spirit of God is at work in us, transforming us, teaching us, comforting us, and calling us. And finally, let's be filled with thanksgiving, turning to God in gratitude for all that He has given us, the big things and the small things. And even in the midst of the really difficult things in life, because often it's in those things that we find God is calling us into growth and into a deeper relationship with Him, so we can even be thankful in the midst of our struggles. Wisdom, worship, and gratitude. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we want to live lives which are wise. Help us by your Spirit to make the right choices. Help us to treasure the time that you've given us. Lord, we pray that we will be able to worship you with all our hearts and give thanks to you, come before you in gratitude. Lord, we pray that this week, by your Spirit, that you will help us to practice some of these things. That this wouldn't just be some verses we read in the Bible on Sunday, but there would be things that we live out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Bring them from our heads into our hearts and into our bodies and our behaviour. And we need your Spirit's help to empower us to do this.
So please fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, Amen.